You are now listening to
Final Push
versus the World Podcast with me, your bizarre and boisterous host of Mighty Shields, aka Larry Lettuce, aka Hulkbuster, aka Josuke Black, aka I Tank, aka Pretty Parker, aka Legs Linguini, aka I Can Feel It in the Air Tonight. While I will briefly touch some things, touch some other topics in pop culture and geek culture, this is mainly going to be focused on the Netflix show The Tiger King and the wild, wild ride that my wife and I went on watching this. I will give you this public service announcement before I even start this. That's why I'm putting this in before the intro. This is going to be heavy spoilers. Heavy spoilers. I'm talking about everything. I got notes. Also, this is going to be different from my other episodes where I try to, you know, monitor my language as far as, you know, the expletives and things like that. And while I don't think that needs to be addressed here, but I do want to know, people that know me know, like, I need to talk freely when I'm talking about some crazy stuff. And this is a crazy thing here. And if you are worried about how your ears going to feel about this, shout out to Mama Nancy and Mama Julie. I'm about to be talking crazy, so you might want to skip this episode. But, yo, with no further ado, let's get into some Tiger King. Cut that shit. Episode 25 of Final Boss versus the World Podcast, where I take on life, pop culture, everything video games and geek culture, and all through the lens of this black man on the other end of this mic. Let me tell you, when I say this show, The Tiger King is peak Caucasity. I don't even know if that's true or not, because there are white people that are watching this show and like, yo, what is going on here? I have never seen any. The things that happened in this show are beyond belief. And the only reason they even seem feasible is just how crazy that our protagonist of this show, I don't even know if he's the protagonist of this, is Joe Exotic. Let me back up a little bit. For those of you who don't know, or those of you who are just listening on all willy-nilly, not caring about spoilers, I am going to be talking about Tiger King, the Netflix show that's out right now on Netflix. It's hot right now. A lot of people are talking about it. I won't say everybody, but a lot of people are talking about it. Do I recommend you watch this show? I don't know. I'm not even sure. Listen to this. My wife on a whim said, yo, everybody's talking about this. We should probably watch this. I heard it's funny. Cool. When we started watching it, it wasn't until episode 4 where I was like, well, actually, up until episode 4, I was like, what the fuck am I watching? What the hell is this? I don't even know. I didn't even know what was going on. And by that time, it's only 7 episodes. You're too invested to just give up on the characters now. And I say characters with the heaviest quotations, because these motherfuckers is real. These are real people. These are real First of all, I'm never going to Oklahoma. I'm never going to Oklahoma based off of this show. But anyway, Tiger King is centered around Joe Exotic. Joe Exotic is this, I want to call it a private zoo owner at the beginning of this. And he's known for having the most exotic animals. He's super eccentric. He's super, like, super charismatic in that regard. Whereas, like, he's a redneck, has the mullet, has an accent. He's a country singer. He's gun-toting, rootin'-tootin'. He's gay. And he's, you know, flaunting that out. He's a magician. He's all these things. A tiger, lion, tamer, zookeeper. He's doing everything, man. He is doing everything in this show. And it's centered around him and the things that led up to his arrest and currently now jail time. So what you see in this series is a bunch of things. So you see some of his acquaintances like Doc Antle. You see some of his adversaries such as Jeff Lowe, I believe his name was, and the main one, Carol Baskin. Let me tell you something about it. Regardless, and there's a lot of things in this show that are very offensive. I will tell you that right off the bat. But Carol Baskin, something about her seems sociopathic, and I agree with Joe. Even though Joe himself is a goddamn psychopath, we'll get into that later. I actually don't know how long this podcast is going to be, because I just got to get this off my chest. These notes are all flipping around. I was just going. So let me go to the front of my notes. So starting with episode one, we're introduced to the man, the myth, the legend, Joe Exotic, right? Joe Exotic is the zookeeper of the GW Zoo. He is known for having over 217 big cats, right? And he does a lot of, let me tell you something, man. He wouldn't be my first choice of zoo to go to. I'm going to be 100% with you. He wouldn't even be my fifth choice. Out of these zoos, Doc Antle's is the one I would probably go to. But his motherfucker trying to charge you $400 to a visit to pet some damn tigers, man. I'll go pet a stray cat in the alleyway. Forget that. I'll take my chances with the rabies. I'm not paying $400 for no big cat pet. But people are doing it. People are nuts. But that's neither here nor there. So we are introduced to Joe and his motley crew of zookeepers, and something a little bit weird about all of them, I would say. You got Sis that's working there. She got her arm bit off. And she was back in a week. She had a bit off, went to the hospital, got her med. She came back. She's back at the zoo working. One arm. You got old dude in here. I can't remember his name. I just remember his last name, Rinky. This dude is walking around with two. He ain't got no legs. It doesn't have anything to do with the zoo, so they say. They say it happened in like some kind of accident. I don't know, man. There's too many things that are happening in the zoo for me to just believe something like that. And then you have one of Joe's love interests. I can't remember his name. Let me see if I wrote his name down, because this motherfucker had his nipples. Let me see. I don't even know. Finlay. That's his last name. Joe's first love interest. This dude, for all seven episodes, had his entire nipple rings out. I don't think an episode went by where I wasn't seeing his meth mouth and nipple rings. Yeah, that's a note I got right now. Seven episodes, Finlay still got his nipple rings out. That's a note on my notepad right now. And that's the truth. And he's a little bit weird. He's kind of stocky dude. And then you had Travis. Travis was like the California dreamy dreamboat. But he didn't really talk much on the show or in the camera. And you'll find out why a little bit later on in this podcast, which is really unfortunate. And then I think I'm missing one other person, but Eric, this long-haired, shaggy-looking character who just seems like he's just there to do the job and go home, and you could miss him with all of the BS that goes along with this Joe Exotic little thing here. And then you got the dude that was trying to film it and make it a blog. But so that's the first person that you introduced into in the first, I would say, 20 minutes of the show, right? So then you move on to, you know, getting a little bit more about Joe Exotic and his, you know, eccentric and haphazardous ways. And then you get introduced to his adversary, the main antagonist for the show. Or one of the main antagonists for this show, and that is Carol Baskin. Carol Baskin is this lady who is, she has PETA backing her. She's super animal rights. She seemed to be super behind the animal rights movement there. And what is odd to me is that she's doing all this, I'm trying to find the word, standing on the soapbox and preaching about animal conservation, yet she has a zoo or a big cat zoo where people can come and see the cats. And I'll be honest with you, one thing you could say about Joe's cages did not look like the chicken wire she had up at her job, at her zoo. And they don't, none of these zoos pay them anything. Let's just get it there. But she, you have to look her up. Her company is Big Cat Rescue. And she's all over social media. She's doing all this. And she had this kind of uppiness. Like, if you watch anime, she's like the Ojo character. The Ojo character. And for me, that was very obnoxious, very annoying. And she always felt like she was better than anybody else. And if you look at this, if you look at the people that she was talking about, or she's people she was going against, she had every right to feel that way. I can't even categorize Joe into anything without offending a whole group or a whole subset of people, because I think when you watch this show, you're gonna know what Joe is, and he reps that to the fullest. He'll give you two pumps on his chest. He represents that to the fullest. And I think when you get into the conflict between them two, really turned sour when she kind of took away Joe's income. And Joe makes a lot of his money off of the cub petting and cub breeding, which you can say is wrong. Speaking to that point, they made a very poignant point here that they are double the amount of tigers in captivity in the U.S. than they are in their natural habitats in the wild. Remember that. That's something that they wanted to burn into your head like Wally, right? And while I do think that is an atrocious number, I do think that is very troublesome. We ain't here to talk about this. This show ain't about that right now, because you tried to start this off. They waited till, I'm jumping all over the place, excuse me, but they waited till episode 7 to give you that Wally type conserve the earth feel, because everything up here up to that point was just like, this is about them. This ain't even about the animals. This is about these silly, extreme, psychotic MFs and everything that they do. And I will tell you some of the things, and let me just, you know what, instead of trying to jump around, because I'm already getting too worked up, let me just go down my notes. Let me start from the front, and I'll kind of explain myself. And shout out to everybody that responded to my Facebook post about trying to, you know, get some information to talk about this, like their thoughts and feelings about this, because like I said, mine are all over the place. Let's see, where did I start? Okay. Let's see. So it looks like I didn't start taking notes about this show until episode 2, because then I knew by episode 2, this is about to be some wild and crazy shit. So episode 1, just know that they introduce the conflict, the ongoing conflict with Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. They haven't even introduced any other characters yet at this point, but they are, beside the people that run the zoo for Joe, and they're button heads at this point. And at the end of the episode, you start to see like the level at which Joe hates Carol Baskin. While Carol Baskin attacks him financially, like Joe is like taking blow up dolls and calling them Carol and putting her fake head in the jar and shooting her head off of a mannequin and blowing up stuff and like sounding real crazy, to the point where he sent her a package full of poisonous snakes. She opened up, he said he was going to do it on his little pod show, whatever he does on the internet, a little webcam show that he did. And she went to her mailbox and there was a bunch of snakes spilling out. So that is the end of, that's episode 1. Episode 2, somehow, some way, Joe Exotic has her diary entries. I don't know where he's getting these diary entries. And the reason why I wrote this down is due to the fact that he knows about all the money she's been spending support his argument. So his argument is that, you know, she's doing all this animal rights stuff, however, are doing all these, working for these animal rights movies in PETA, but yet she's running a zoo, she's buying cats, she's breeding cats and all that. And he has receipts, he has an itemized receipts of all her purchases. Not only that, but then like her diary from like her talking about her second husband. And let's get on that while we're here. There was a rumor or a story or a myth going around about her and her second husband and how he just disappeared. He just gone, girl. He disappeared. Nobody knows where he is. Nobody has found the body in 5 years. None of this stuff. There was a story circulating that she fed him to the tigers. And if you watch all 7 episodes of this show, you know, by the time when she tells you that's ridiculous in episode 2, when it comes up, you know for a fact, you can look into her face, she did that shit. She fed that poor man to those hungry ass tigers that she got in that chicken wire. Now, going back to her second husband, Don, the way they met was crazy. And this is how I know something was going on with this relationship. So he's driving around trying to move on. Like, he's just driving around in his truck, for whatever reason, has a gun in his seat. He sees Carol. Carol has just gotten out. She has just left her first husband, right? She states she threw a potato at him to make him flinch, to run away because it was an abusive relationship. By all means, queen, get up out of there. You don't need to be getting there, getting your ass whooped. I stand behind you. Get out of there. What you don't need to do is to get in a strange man's car, especially strange older men who say, hey, I just need somebody to talk to. You can hold me at gunpoint. And then you get in said car and you hold said gun to said old man and go to a hotel with said man. And then the rest was history. Or, excuse me, Don was history. But apparently Don was a player, man. He was, you know, he wanted to do this big zoo thing. He was going back and forth to Costa Rica to kind of see how to breed and see how he wanted to do things. And there's a theory that he may be in Costa Rica, a very loose theory. I'm standing on this she fed him to the tiger shit, because too much stuff was going on after the fact for me to think like, oh, she's trying to cover stuff up. So they've made a point to let you know that after 5 years of somebody disappearing, you can pronounce them dead. The reason why she would want to pronounce this guy dead is so she can get the benefits of his assets, right? Because this dude Don was a millionaire. So what she was able to do within those 5 years, she was able to go and get all the wills, all the rights to all this stuff. She broke into his office within that time, rewrote everything, put some very questionable lines on the will, like, hey, in the case of my death or disappearance. Even the lawyer was like, what the fuck is this? I've never seen this in my entire life. In all 30 years of my time being a lawyer, I've never seen or in the event of my disappearance. That seems sketch. But again, that's not here. She then on year five, day what, one day after the 5 year mark, all of his assets are handed over to her. So now she got all the money, all his life insurance, all that stuff, all his properties, all that stuff. And then he left the old family, his daughters and stuff, for like a little 10%, little chip change, little chicken scraps over here for the peasants, so she says. And then they left that for a little bit, and they go back to Carol actually buying animals from what looked like an animal flea market. And she tried to make it seem like, oh, she was being a spy trying to see how these things are, but she's over here buying cats too. But what the most important thing about this is, going back to my original point, how does Joe know all this information? Because the only reason that it is even expounded upon in the series, or they had to feel like they had to explain it, is because Joe is sitting here with his leg crossed, with his little bifocals on, looking at it like your auntie do, who can't read her phone, reading it under his brow, talking about, well, on this day, she bought this many things, and this many tigers, and this many whatevers. How does he know this? Who the hell is Joe Exotic's mole? How does he know so much? How does he know her pockets? She killed her husband. She did it. She did it. How she on his like I said, I'm just jumping all over the place. I'm just going by my notes. Listen, how she gonna go on the daily news, the nightly news, and be smiling, jokingly laughing, and rolling her eyes, smiling like, yo, I don't even know what happened to him, bro. I don't even know what. It is beyond me. It is beyond me. But, like, after this story comes out about her feeding her husband to said tigers, my man Joe, you know, he's a creative. That's one thing I commend about Joe. Joe's a creative man, and he's better at Photoshop than a lot of y'all motherfuckers out here. He's over here putting her head on all kind of things. He's doing green screens with her head on mannequins, bow, shooting the mannequins. He's putting green screens. He's putting her husband's face on the manhole, talking about, hey, get me out the septic tank. This man is a full blown. He's a full sack of planets. He is a full blown nut. To the extent that he, you know, Joe, like I said, he's a country singer. He be singing. Shout out to John for telling me, yo, he faking. He lip syncing like Britney Spears. But he made a diss track with a Carole Baskin lookalike where she's feeding little human strips to Joe's tiger. And what was crazy about this is that they showed the outtakes for the video, and it's like him just standing with a pile of shit in his hand. It's like, hurry up, this damn shit stinks. And like, it gets wild. And that's another thing, this show is filmed in a way in which it almost seems like it's supposed to be a comedy. It almost seems like it's supposed to be like, you know, one of those like Bruno's or Borat type shows. And at any point in time, you can hear that Larry going on. But let me tell you this right now. Everything in this show is offensive, is atrocious. And there are some things about Joe. And I know I'm laughing, cackling about Joe. But this dude is a true dirtbag, among other things, with these other people in the show. And we'll get to that. And we have 22 minutes. I ain't even got to the meat. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. This might be an hour. But Carole then goes on after this, and this is the end of the episode, goes on with a little flower headband, a little flower crown, talking about, here is the secrets to getting rich. She has a whole YouTube video about her getting rich. Mind you, this is after her husband has passed away. This is after she's already gotten all the money from her husband. So here's my notes. Step one, hold a millionaire at gunpoint and take him to a hotel. Step two, feed him to the tigers. Step three, repeat step one. That's what I got from my notes, because that's exactly what the hell happened. Meanwhile, Joe is riding around town with a tiger in his car like it's some kind of pooch. What the hell is going on here? So then you get to episode four at this point, in which he gets his Tiger King moniker here. So they're trying to film a reality show, and this show that's on Netflix is actually filming at the same time in which he's trying to film this reality TV show. And they put this notion in his head that, yo, Joe is the king of the tiger. He is the Tiger King. He has the most tigers. He has the most exciting tiger zoo, this and that. And so now this is going to his head. Now, one thing you don't want to do to a creative, I'm guilty of this, is give them more gas to fuel their ego. And so Joe is walking around the zoo, gun out, finger on the trigger, and just firing shots up in the air, giggling off like a little schoolgirl. I can't be around that kind of silliness, that kind of horseplay, that kind of fuckery, because I will end up, one, either calling police, or I'll be in there tearing him up. But in episode 4, I believe, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, they get to this point where they're filming, and I don't know what happened, and they kind of expanded on this later in the series. But the studio in which they were filming all of the internet shows, where they were filming all of the reality TV show, the guy that was brought on to actually take and make Joe look like he could actually be a character for a reality TV show, the whole studio got burned. Now, the interesting thing about this studio, it is also where apparently they were keeping some of the alligators. Shout out to John as well, who replied to my Facebook post. Some of those alligators were owned by the very late, great Michael Jackson. But they apparently burnt up all in the fire, right? Joe comes back. I can't believe this. You did this. You did that. Here's the thing. The whole studio burnt down. All the laptops, all the flash drives, all the hard drives, everything. The computer, the TVs, all that stuff, the cameras. And the guy that was brought on to film the show, he's like super beside himself. He said, the one thing he said to me, and the one thing that I think a lot of people in the creative field, especially in the art field, the graphic design field, he said, yo, I didn't back up any of my data. If you don't learn anything else from this goddamn show, back up your shit. Back up all your shit. Hey, if you think, yo, this may crash on me, like Audacity here, sometimes I just stop it just so I can save it. I just stop recording so I can save it, because Audacity can be a bitch sometimes. So I just stop, save, and back it up. Stop, save, back it up. Remember that. But they lost everything. They lost all that. And Joe, the nutcase that he is, he's blaming everybody. He's thinking somebody put a hit out on him, because they thinking that they were trying to get him. He was supposed to be in that den. And so he goes on TV. He goes on the news. This was an attack. This was an attack. Blah, 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 blah. Talk about, yo, if Carol Baskin is doing all this, if Carol Baskin is responsible for this, or somebody is responsible within her campus for this, I can promise you this, that Carol Baskin will stop breathing. I'm like, oh, you're a real nut. Speaking of a real nut, let me go back to episode one. When this Carol Baskin shit was going down, he was on live television. He was on the fucking news, and he said, and this is why I knew Joe was a fucking nut. This is why I knew he was a nut. He gonna say, yo, if Carol Baskin tries to come at me, take my tigers away from me, try to shut me down, it's gonna be a cold day in hell. I'll start a whole nother Waco. Excuse me, bitch? You just can't go on TV talking crazy like that. I remember Waco. I'm 32. I remember Waco. I was a kid when that shit happened. Yo, bro, that's when I knew he was a certified nut with two T's. This motherfucker was crazy. But that's also what made me keep watching, because I was like, what else crazy he gonna say? But after all that shit went down, all this shit comes down, Joe apparently finds his business partner, because he needs somebody to help him rebuild the studio. This is where Jeff Lowe enters the scene. Jeff Lowe is this scruffy, he's like, he reminds me of some guy you would see down in Tampa, like super, like, what's the word? He kind of Hulk Hogan-esque almost. He's wearing these biker jackets with the bandana and a hat with the sunglasses on. He's like, if Kyle, you know, the Monster Energy drink Kyle's, if they actually lived to see like 55, this is that guy. This guy had the biker jacket on. He had the ripped acid wash jeans, the Affliction t-shirts on. He's the whole nine. And Joe Exotic looked up to him in a sort of way, because Jeff Lowe looked like he had a lot of money. He looked like he was living his lavish life. He looked like he had a mansion. He had all these cars, Ferraris, all this stuff. And come to find out, this man was an Instagram thotty. He was just doing all this stuff for the show. He was just showing all this stuff on Instagram. All this stuff is on back payment. All this stuff is from Rent-A-Center. He don't own none of this shit. His daddy worked for the circus. That's it. That's the only reason why he know about big cats. And to be honest, when they were showing him on screen with his big cats, didn't look like them motherfucking little cats liked him at all. They was biting, nipping at him. He's like, get back, spraying them down with hoses. They ain't never had a scene on there with Joe. Okay, there was one. We'll get to that one. But for the most part, I ain't never seen Joe getting attacked by his own shit. But they needed somebody financially to help him with not only the lawsuits, but also feeding these big cats. Because what they were doing, they were getting, like, they had this arrangement. Joe Exotic had this arrangement with local Walmart where they were getting the expired meat. Now, if you're working with Walmart, the way they described it is that it's not actually expired meat. So what is happening is that they're taking it off the shelf, right? And then when they take it up to the they take it up to the register because it's been out of refrigeration for so long, for the entirety of the, how they're, you know, been walking around the store, they can't actually put that back on the shelf because it'd be, you know, it'll get people sick. They want to risk. So what they do, they put it in the they put it in the throwaway pile. So you can't even put them in the go bags. So they gotta set it aside. You can't even use that meat anymore. So what do? They throw it out. Joe Exotic like, yo, let me cop that. I'll pay you such and such for on the low. And you just hand this out to me out back and we just feed this to the tiger. But what they've been doing, because he's paying his workers shit, they living in, there's rats all in the trailers, they fucking houses got all kinds of shit in them, they're letting the workers pick the picks out first, like the little meaty cuts out first of this expired meat, and then they feeding the rest of the big cats. And so that shit could only last for so long before you start, you know, reaching the end of that. But you know, they needed somebody financially to help, and I think Jeff Lowe was supposed to be the guy for that. Now, somewhere in between this and the end, Joe thought, and this is when Jeff Lowe actually took over the zoo. Joe Exotic let Jeff Lowe put the zoo in his name, just to get Carol Baskin off his ass and be like, yo, Carol, we got money now. What's up? We can go to war now. We can go to jail. I mean, go to jail. Well, he is in jail. Spoiler alert. In the spoiler section, no, Joe went to fucking jail for this shit. But what Joe decided to do after he handed over the name of the zoo to Jeff Lowe was like, yo, I'm a fucking run for president. Oh, you think that's a lie? This is fucking real. This is real life. Joe Exotic ran for president and he did all right. He did all right. And then he dropped down. He's like, yo, this motherfucker had a real campaign manager. He had a whole ass campaign manager. Instead of, you know, those political buttons they was handing out, he's handing out condoms with his face on them. This is episode 5. This is episode 5 we on. And he's out here in the streets campaigning to be now the president of the United States. And when he saw that wasn't going to work, he went down to governor, right? This dude was so full of himself. He was getting too big for his britches that he didn't turn the whole camp against him. Because now Joe, where he was primarily focused on animals, but he still had that ego, still had his persona, still had this thing to keep up with, he was still putting the animals first for the most part. But now that he's moved over to this, he wants to be governor, wants to be president, whatever. Because at first he went for president and then he transitioned to the governor because he said he can't wait that long. He can't wait 4 years to become president. He got to be governor, right? The whole camp was turning against him because there were things that the camp needed. And Jeff Lowe was an asshole. And his friend and his little handyman, Andy, was an asshole. So they couldn't get along with them. So they was looking to him for guidance. And Joe was just like kind of being a bitch about it and not helping him out. So Joe's out here filming some shit. I don't know what he's filming. I think he's filming something for his governor campaign. And somebody, they say somebody sprayed some shit on his shoe. Somebody sprayed some on his shoe where the tiger was like super interested in his shoe, to where it kind of hugged him. And then Joe was like, yo, get the fuck off me, right? Kind of kicked it away. And the tiger was like, hell no. Give me that shoe. And this tiger drags Joe underneath the desk. And so now all four other tigers looking at him like, oh, are we eating now? We ain't got to eat no Walmart meat. We about to get some Joe Exotic meat. And they all looking at him. They surround him. He pow, 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 fires four fucking shots in the air. Meanwhile, people are filming this shit, not moving out one muscle. They just watching this motherfucker about to die on camera. And it's so bad. Nobody fucking moved the muscle. So you see the camera, one of the camera guys turns over to see another camera guy. And he is just stoic, fucking solid. Camera did not leave this motherfucker. This motherfucker, he pow, pow, pow. He's shooting off rounds. I shoot you in the motherfucking eyes. Talking to the tiger. Because the tiger's still prowling, still chasing him because he feels disrespected. You kicking me in the face and shit. yo, this is when stuff got really getting round, right? So then they fast forward to that, because now apparently he's gotten over, right? But they still have him in the guise of that he is a fucking loony, which he fucking is. And so he's running around the camp, running around the zoo when they cleaning up, and his mother-in-law's running around, and like his secretary's running around, and he's got this little rifle and he's firing shots in the air, and he's running off giggling like he's got a little fucking water gun. I don't know what was going on with him. And then they drop the bomb on you. Then they tell you that the two guys that I mentioned earlier in this podcast, Finlay, which was Joe's first husband, and Travis, which is his second husband in the series, they're part of this weird kind of like harem, and Joe kind of seduced them. But then they dropped the bomb on you that, yo, they both say like, yo, I'm not actually gay. I just did it because Joe was giving me drugs. And then you start seeing this light. Now, what used to be the psychotic, like kind of, he was kind of a little murderous, kind of Joker-esque. But now you start seeing, oh, he's actually a fucking predator. Because one thing that I didn't pay attention to, Joe, that Finlay guy, his first husband, he was 19 when he hit the zoo, right? Joe at this point is already in his 40s, early 50s, right? So he's already got this youngin here. Travis came from California around the same age, actually 17, 18, and he's like poaching these young kids to make this little like this harem of sorts, right? And he's seducing them with like meth and weed and stuff. And so you get to, we start hearing more and more about his second husband, Travis, the young one, the cute one, the one that's 6'6", the one that Joe's madly in love with, right? And so he's hurt. He feels caged in. He was like a locked animal, and people started saying like he was giving off characteristics of an animal that's cornered, or somebody that, you know, that's being held captive in like a kind of like a culty situation, right? And so they keep going on about Travis and how like crazy he'd be like running up on people, holding them at gunpoint. Like, I would never do that, you know what I mean? And then they continue. And then they show Travis going through some kind of hardship. He's punching the side of a semi. And he's telling people, like, yo, I don't know what I can do. Like, Joe won't let me leave the premises. He'll never, like, I don't know what the outside world is like. And so he's playing with the gun, talking to Joe's, at this point, campaign manager in this room. And this is probably the saddest part of the show, in which where you see him, Travis is not on film, he's not on the camera, but he's under the camera, right? You see the campaign manager, and I would want to say one of the security guards that are there, and he's talking to him, and you can see the panic, because he's doing the thing that the campaign manager said he didn't like him doing. Don't point the gun at me, that's dangerous, that freaks me out. He's telling Travis, you can see it, there's no audio, you can see the campaign manager telling Travis to put the gun away, right? Now, Travis puts the gun away, and this is just the mannerism I'm getting from this, and what the campaign manager is saying is like, yo, I just thought he was playing, because he took the gun away, he's like, yo, it's not even loaded, and he put the gun up to his head, and like, on camera, you can see the flash from the gun. Now, again, Travis not on camera, you don't see him shoot himself, but you do see the flash from the gun go off on the camera, and the reaction that the campaign manager had, and it was like, yo, he's joking, that wasn't even real. And I think it took him a literal 3 minutes for him to react like, oh, this is real, this is real life, this is happening. Fast forward to Travis's funeral, which is very unfortunate, and I have the note here, because now they're trying to paint Joe in like the sympathetic light, like, yo, like he's, you know, he's hurt, he lost his love, he's doing like the eulogies, and he's, you know, singing a song at the funeral, and his mother-in-law's there, and Travis's mom is there crying. She fucking hates Joe's guts, and it's obvious that Joe is making this about him again, right? And so they show him, you know, being very emotional, him crying. I don't buy any of it, because again, Joe's a psychopath, he's fucking loony, he's a crazy. And I wrote down a note, like, at what point do you sympathize with a psychopath? Because I look at my wife and my wife is crying because it is sad. Travis died. Travis killed himself because he felt like he had no other choice. He couldn't resort to nothing else. And that is sad. And you get seduced by this man that has what seems like endless amounts of drugs and can make, you know, large sums of money off of a whim just by breeding these tigers. You know, I mean, you kind of feel trapped. You have nowhere to go. But here's this, and this goes to how this show was filmed, right? Because right after that, right after all that sad, tell me why they have on the screen Joe telling us that he has had a Prince Albert for 18 plus years. Why don't you know that? Why is that something important to the show? Why don't you hear that? Especially after Travis's funeral. Hey, speaking of after Travis's funeral, 2 months later, Joe is already on some new booty. He already got a new man. I'm never going to Oklahoma. Let me just tell you this. I can't stress that enough. If you're from Oklahoma and you listen to this, I'm sorry. I'm never coming there. Especially the boonies in which this zoo is at. But he's already on to a new guy. And this new guy seems to actually like Joe. They don't really go too deep into that. They just make it seem like he actually cares about Joe. He's doing all his like little errands and stuff like that, and going off and taking all these Instagram pictures and kissing and all this shit. But it seems like this new guy really likes Joe. I pray for that guy. But after this, we go back to the results, because he's still in campaign mode, by the way. He's still running for governor at this point. This motherfucker, this King of the Hills character, has 19% of the votes. Listen to me. 19% of you motherfuckers went out there and voted for him in Oklahoma. Y'all voted for him to be y'all governor. Harambe had less votes. Are you kidding me? And then they let you know after they show this. And Joe lost, by the way, with good reason. He's a fucking nut. But they showed Jeff Lowe panicking on the phone. He's with the feds. He's working with the fucking feds. We knew he was a fuzz. He's dressed up too much like a fucking 50-year-old in a 30-year-old's body for him not to be a part of the feds. But he's over here making calls to the FBI, trying to cover his own ass. Then you got this other guy that Jeff Lowe is using, this fucking walking Chucky doll, as Joe Exotic called him. He's like this fat piece of shit with a fucking bowl cut. I don't know where he is. He runs a whole bunch of strip clubs and shit. He's fucking disgusting looking. But he's setting all of these motherfuckers up. He came in to be a help to Jeff Lowe, but what he's really trying to do, he's trying to bag these motherfuckers. Because you know why old Prince Albert is here trying to put them under? Because these motherfuckers was plotting a murder in a fucking Applebee's. Yeah, your neighborhood restaurant. They are in a fucking Applebee's plotting a murder against Carol Baskin. Are you fucking serious? And they all are talking like, yo, we can just shoot her on her driveway. We can shoot her down. These motherfuckers. Bro. So, Joe apparently paid somebody. He's supposed to pay somebody $5,000. And this, we're talking about Alan here now. This is the handyman that Jeff Lowe brought on. He was supposed to pay him $5,000. He paid him $3,000 to go down to Florida and kill Carol Baskin, right? Mind you, they have already set up that Alan hates Joe's guts. He said that he would drop a chainsaw on this motherfucker. That was his words. But he took this money mad quick and was like, yo, I got this shit. Right, but Joe is paying. He paid $3,000 for somebody to travel from Oklahoma to Tampa to kill somebody. $3,000 ain't worth no life. Let alone ain't enough to get me down to Florida to kill nobody that's fucking on a tiger camp. Are you kidding me? But what happened was, Alan chickened out. He said, "Yo, your stripper's kind of lit, so I'm gonna stick in South Carolina. Thanks for the money, you chump." And that's what he did. So Joe's at a loss. Joe's on the run at this point. Because Jeff Lowe came back like, I'm gonna shoot this whole motherfucker zoo up. You trying to sully my name? Because Joe had been bouncing checks like Kyrie Irving, be bouncing basketballs, trying to run this campaign. But he was forging Jeff Lowe's name on it. And at this point, Jeff Lowe is in hell of trouble with the feds. Because he was doing some fucking skeptical shit, some sketchy shit in Las Vegas with these damn strip clubs. And him putting tiger cubs into a suitcase and rolling them into a hotel. Yeah, that's Jeff Lowe. But you fast forward, because this is, I'm already at the 45 minute mark. You fast forward, right? Because we ain't even talked about Doc. Doc is a whole different episode in itself. So now you have Joe at this point of the show. I think we're in episode 6. Joe has been apprehended on the meditated murder, or him hiring Alan to go kill this lady, right? They don't have enough evidence for this to stick, right? So they try to find another thing. So Jeff Lowe's old scumbag ass like, hey, come on the campus, check whatever you want. So some other shit come to light. 19 counts of other offenses come to light. Like, I don't know, Joe shooting animals in the head and burying them. Joe selling all these fucking animals before he dipped. Yeah, they counted all them motherfuckers. And then you have this loony Joe Exotic. They have evidence from an undercover cop of Joe trying to haggle this motherfucker down for this murder attempt. Like, it's like, hey, I'll give you $10,000 or best offer, like some Craigslist shit. And he's still out here showing his ass. His lawyer's just like, yo, I need you to relax. I need you to relax, because if you just shut the fuck up, maybe we get a plea and we can get you out. Joe's like, now I defend myself. Alright, Joe. Alright, get up there. Joe's still out here showing his ass. This motherfucker got up there. He said, hold my nipple rings. I'm getting up there. I'm getting on the stand. He's talking all this shit. He's like, I got evidence on all these motherfuckers. They ain't buy that shit. Jury's like, yo, you're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. This motherfucker got 22 years. 22 years. So he's in his 50s, late, about to be in his 60s, man. I don't think he'll make it out, right? That's a long ass time. But then Joe's like, yo, I ain't the only one in this motherfucker. If I'm going down, all you motherfuckers going down. So he got a literal storage unit full of all of the shit that we thought got burned down with the alligators. But there is shit up in that storage unit that they didn't want us to see, and Joe's new boyfriend didn't want to see, because he closed that folder hella quick. So I'm thinking that this show is going to continue to the next part, where they go after Doc Anton, and where they go after and they go after some of these other people like Jeff Lowe and Alan, and even some of the zookeepers there, because you know they were running the zoo right along with them, and you know what could they do, you know. But I didn't even touch on everything. I'm at 48 minutes. I didn't even touch everything. And I skipped over a lot of shit. I just touched on the shit that I took notes on. And I tell you what, man, this show is a wild ride. I don't know if I can recommend this to anybody, to be honest. I don't know. And I don't even think I would be offended if you do watch it, if you don't watch it. Because this is something else. I don't know what this shit is. This is a distraction is what it is. This is a distraction to keep us on. Who's more loony than what's going on in the world today? This is to keep you distracted from thinking about quarantine and the COVID. That's what this is. And it worked for the short time that it lasted. But this can't be real. And while I know it is, there can't be people in the world like this. People are nuts. People are nuts. And you best believe when Joe got locked up, Carol Baskin and her husband out here doing a little finger twist, doing a little arm cross, drinking wine, posing for Instagram with these damn shrimp cocktails, her husband singing. Yeah. Speaking of her husband, way back in episode 3 when they showed her new husband, third husband, the smart motherfucker, yo, they had pictures of him on a leash, like some sub shit. I don't know about that, but we're going to get up out of here, man. Hey, If you like this podcast, make sure you listen to me on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Apple iTunes, Apple Podcasts. I know this is kind of a jumbled mess, but I just had to get some shit off my chest about this show, because this show is fucking nuts. And I hope y'all kind of, you know, get at me about, you know, your thoughts about it, because like I said, I didn't cover everything. There's a whole two other people that, you know, I didn't even talk about, like I said, the doc, that one crazy motherfucker that was eating damn food out of a monkey's mouth. That shit, fucking literal Tony Montana. He had a whole damn zoo in there and he was a gooning up. But yeah, man, hit me up at Final Boss Versus. It's Final Boss VS on Instagram, Final Boss VS on Twitter, and I'll be on Twitch. I'll be on there streaming what will be Animal Crossing here. I'm gonna put out a video on YouTube just signifying, you know, my beginning into a new journey to a new world, because I've never experienced Animal Crossing. And thanks to some very awesome friends, I'm able to have this experience. So appreciate y'all. Shout out to y'all. Y'all know who y'all are. And if nothing else, man, make sure you stay away from big cats. Hey, did you know that a French Bulldog is $5,000, but Joe's out here selling Tiger Cubs for $3,000? Keep that in mind. But hey, nothing else. Drink that water. Stay hydrated. We out.